This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So I'm sure most of you are familiar at this point with the, you know, annual consternation and debate over the final few teams into the NCAA tournament when the bracket was unveiled Sunday night on CBS. And just to give you a little bit of context, and I didn't know this yesterday, Denton, you probably knew this. Indiana was minus 3,500 early in the day to make the NCAA tournament. Minus 3,500. That is an overwhelming, like massive, like done deal they're in. There weren't even odds on West Virginia because the assumption was they were in the field. Texas and North Carolina ranged anywhere from plus 150 to plus 500 on getting into the field during the day leading up to the bracket show. But North Carolina got in, Texas got in, Indiana did not, West Virginia did not. In the order of last team in, North Carolina, first team out was West Virginia, followed by Indiana, Ohio State, and Boise State. Well, West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrissey yesterday lashed out at the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, asking his state attorney general to investigate and work closely with the NCAA to ensure that the process is transparent and fair. It's not totally transparent, and nobody said anything about it, you know, having to be fair. There is a lot of subjectivity in it. There's a lot of numbers in it as well. Morrissey said yesterday, standing at a lectern with a sign reading for NCAA, National Corrupt Athletic Association, really creative. He said, West Virginia deserved to be in the NCAA tournament. This was a miscarriage of justice and robbery at the highest levels. No, it wasn't. But West Virginia did deserve to be in based on, you know, simple kind of back of the envelope numbers. I mean, the quad one wins, quad one being the best group of teams, and there's a formula that goes into quad one. They had six wins against quad one teams, and North Carolina had just one. The eye test watching, you know, basketball people watching said West Virginia was a better team than North Carolina. Somebody pointed out it may have been, I forget who pointed this out now. I was going to say Sabah, but I don't think it was Sabah. It could have been Sabah. Somebody pointed out, keep in mind that three of North Carolina's losses were all to Duke. That's a good point. Fair enough. I don't think West Virginia played anybody as good as Duke during the course of the season. Did they? Maybe they did. But West Virginia's overall profile was much stronger from an analytics, from a numbers standpoint, than Carolina's. The first year West Virginia coach, Darian DeVries, said his team was extremely shocked, saddened, and disappointed. I guess every bracketologist essentially had West Virginia easily in the field. Here's the problem with this situation this year. Is that Bubba Cunningham, old Bubba Cunningham, the North Carolina AD, was the chairman of the NCAA tournament selection committee. And he referenced, now, when you saw Seth Davis ask the question, because Cunningham was the chair head, and they brought on, you know, the associate chair head to say and to explain that when any conversation pops up about a team that the chairman or anybody in the room is affiliated with, that person has to step out of the room. They do not participate in the conversation about teams that they are connected to. In this case, he's the athletic director at North Carolina. And I will point out that depending on which, you know, story you read, Bubba Cunningham gets a bonus of roughly $100,000, give or take $10,000, for North Carolina making the NCAA tournament. I don't know what his overall compensation is to be the AD at North Carolina. I would assume, you know, I don't even know what ADs make.
He is not quite a million, but I think his compensation is in the neighborhood of $800,000.
Okay, so a $100,000 bonus, significant. Significant for Bubba Cunningham and North Carolina making the tournament. Cunningham said during the show on Sunday, the last four teams that were out, it was a tough call. The next team out was West Virginia, and they had an outstanding year. And unfortunately, knowing that Tucker DeVries was hurt, player availability is something that we talk about quite a bit. Well, Tucker DeVries is the coach's son. He's 6'7". He averaged 15 points and 5 rebounds a game in his 8 starts before an upper body injury required surgery. They've been without him for a while now. So this really should not have been that much of a factor. This was not a player, Wright Denton, that was lost in, you know, in the tournament, in the Big 12 tournament.
No, they've been playing without him for a while. But unfortunately, like, if you look at the way they closed their season, a lot more L's than W's.
Right. But North Carolina's W's were against terrible teams. I mean, and we're talking about terrible teams in the ACC, which there were a lot of. He said Indiana was close, Ohio State was close, Boise was close. North Carolina made it. The governor said, this stinks at the highest level. This doesn't pass the smell test. I want folks to let this sink in that there are reported incentives that Bubba Cunningham receives for the Tar Heels making the tournament. Any way you slice it, it reeks of corruption. I don't know. Is there any possible litigation path for West Virginia? Haven't we seen this before? Remember when New Orleans got robbed by the no-call in the NFC Championship against the Rams, the governor and the mayor, and everybody in the state of Louisiana was threatening to sue everybody. Fans were suing people. I mean, there's nothing that can be done. North Carolina plays tonight. Here's, like, I don't know, maybe a real obvious answer to all of this. Don't let athletic directors, don't let anybody associated with any of these universities currently be on the selection committee. Why even create the optics of potential corruption? There are plenty of former coaches, former athletic directors, nobody that is actually going to get compensated for his school making the NCAA tournament, whether he's in the room or out of the room. He's a part of these conversations. By the way, these people have spent a lot of time together, and they're predisposed in a lot of cases. I would imagine the possibility of being predisposed to liking each other, getting along with each other, understanding each other's plights comes into play. It's human nature. Whether he's in the room or out of the room. It just seems to me, and maybe it's impossible to come up with former, you know, unaffiliated at this point, you know, untied to compensation based on results of the selection committee's bracket. Maybe you can't come up with that many people, but the AD at North, and I know we've had a lot of ADs of schools be the chair. I think... Wasn't Georgetown's Lee Reed, wasn't he the chairhead at one point? I don't know. It seems like somebody locally was the selection chairman head at some point. They shouldn't be. Find people that don't have a direct stake in this.
You got to put the bracketologists on the board.
Put the bracketologist on the board.
I'm being dead. Like, put the bracketologist on there. If you look at like all the bracketologists, all of them had WVU in, and it's not like they're inserting any sort of, you know, bias in terms of where they went to school. You know, obviously they all went to school somewhere, but if 99 bracketologists have WVU in, they're using some model that suggests that WVU should be the one that is in and not UNC. I think I found something that said, of 100 bracketologists in the country, 27 of them had UNC in. And yet UNC ends in, and it just so happens.
Out of how many? 27 out of 100?
I think it was out of 100.
There are 100 bracketologists?
They're like draft gurus and film watchers at this point. But you get the idea. Like, there are some guys that have been doing this for a very long time that get these very, very right. I would not be opposed to throwing one of them, three of them, whatever, onto this committee and make it a much more numbers-based approach. Not, well, they played Duke three times and they were close every single time, but they couldn't get... If you can't beat Duke once out of three times, and like some of those games, one of them is without Cooper Flagg, why are we rewarding you for that? Because you weren't beating anybody else in the ACC.
They didn't beat anybody. The other good teams in the ACC, they lost to both of them. And to Clemson, big. By like 20. And that game was only like a month ago, I think.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's, look, they have, this is the way they do it, and we argue every year about these last teams. This year, though, just feels a little bit different because it's North Carolina. It is a true blue blood in the sport. Indiana really isn't a blue blood anymore. West Virginia's far from it, you know, even with Huggins, even though they have had some tournament success over the years. But Carolina's a blue blood. They're a television ratings needle mover. They're one of the very few. Duke obviously is number one when it comes to that. And then you've got Kansas, Kentucky, and Carolina. Those would be, for me, the four blue bloods of the sport. Things are changing because of conference issues, and we don't know what the ACC will look like in 5 years. The SEC, and we don't, the Big 12 and the SEC are pretty safe, I think, with Kansas and Kentucky. Duke could end up in an all basketball league 10 years from now, 5 years from now, with, you know, UConn and Georgetown, and who knows? Even though Duke does have football, so does UConn, but I'm, you know, they could be left out of the party at some point down the road. But those are the four blue bloods. I don't think anybody else rises to that level. I think those are the four. I think people would tell you those are the Look, St. John's with a Rick Pitino will move the needle because Pitino moves the needle a little bit. Some coaches do. Calipari has in recent years. He's at Arkansas now, if you didn't know. But Carolina, and this is a television show, this is the 1 month out of the year that sports fans pay attention to this sport. You know, it is I always think it's so interesting after the brackets unveiled, and you get a lot of people that haven't watched any college basketball during the course of the season. And admittedly, you and I have talked about this in part because our football team played so deep into the season for the first time in three decades. I watched a lot less college basketball up until the last month, you know, 5-6 weeks anyway. But I love, you know, this time of the year when you just start getting people just, and it's all about the names. Like, it's all about, man, if you haven't seen Wade Taylor at Texas A&M, you know, if you haven't seen Sean Padula at Ole Miss, I mean, the former Virginia Tech star, he is just an incredible three-point shooter, got a great handle, handles the ball screens really well, plays great ball screen defense. It's just like guys just are ripping names from stats, you know, right down. They don't know anything. And by the way, these games, for the most part, with point spreads, are completely unpredictable. They're playing in an environment that they never play in. Total neutral floor environment. They haven't played in this since the spring. Yeah, the conference tournaments have some of that. But the conference tournaments, but when you advance, you know, to the semifinals or to the finals, much more atmosphere than what you get even in the regionals. When you get to the Sweet 16, I've been to Sweet 16 Elite Eight games, and it can be incredibly sterile, the environment for the, you know, depending on who's playing and the venue. I will say this, Capital One a few years ago, 2019, that was the year that Michigan State, LSU, Duke, and Virginia Tech played at Capital One. LSU had beaten Maryland at the buzzer. That's what sucked about that, because the Terps could have been playing at Capital One that year. But that was a great environment because you had Duke, you also had Virginia Tech, and you know, Michigan State drew. But a lot of times, it's completely different. But I, you know, you get all the experts out this time of year, and I will try to act like one, but I'm not one. When it comes to this sport this time of year, anything can happen on Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It does every year. Like, picking a chalk, all chalk bracket may make sense in terms of how your bracket is actually, you know, scored. But what are the chances we get four number ones? When's the last time we had four number ones?
Didn't it happen a couple years ago? I thought it happened relatively recently, all things considered.
Four number ones? I mean, 2 years ago was that crazy year of Florida Atlantic, Miami, San Diego State, right? All in the Final Four that year.
It was 2008.
Was the last time we had four number ones?
Last and only time.
Wow. Who was it? Was that Kansas-Memphis?
Yes, so it was UNC, UCLA, Memphis, Kansas. That UCLA team.
Have we had three ones more recently? What are you looking at? Where are you getting this? I want to look at this.
Google.
Yeah,
I typed in
I'm
one of the last.
For just something that lists all the seeds for the Final Four, and I can't find that.
Oh, no, I think you just have to, I mean, maybe draw like a Final
year?
Four by year.
Oh. All right, I just pulled it up. So last year, two number ones. UConn, Purdue, a four in Bama, 11 in NC State. I mean, we had big boy for NC State leading him to the ACC tournament title here in D.C. And then, by the way, is Kevin Keats, he's getting fired, right, at NC State?
He's already
taking
been
his
fired.
Team to the Final Four?
Yeah, because he's already been fired. They missed out on the ACC tournament.
Oh, right, they missed on the ACC tournament. And he took that team to the Final Four last year.
Yeah, with a nose
They were going to fire him, right, last year?
Yeah, and then Burns saved his job.
Right. Where's Burns playing? He's
overseas.
In the NBA, right?
No, he's not. He's overseas.
He is overseas.
2015 is what you're looking for. That was the last time you had three ones. Duke, Wisconsin, yeah, Kentucky.
Duke, Wisconsin, Kentucky.
And then
God,
Thomas,
that was though. Such a great final, right? The Duke, Wisconsin final.
Yes and no. I lost money on that final.
Yeah, that was a great game. Yeah, you just, matchups are everything. The environment's crazy because you're playing, you know, when you're playing these early games in some of these venues on Thursday and Friday, there's like nobody there. Yeah. So 2008 was the last time four number ones, and before that, four number ones. Is that the only time it's happened?
Yeah, it's the only time it's happened.
The only time it's happened in the era of the expanded format. Yeah,
yeah, prior to that, you had to go all the way back to 97, the last time you got three number ones in with Kentucky, North Carolina, and Minnesota, of all teams.
Oh, yeah. Clem Haskins coached that team.
Yeah.
Minnesota. They were pretty good. 97 was Arizona winning it with...
Gilbert.
They beat Maryland
Jefferson.
In the Sweet 16 that year. Okay. Well, I mean, good luck, West Virginia. It's too late. We get games. Look, Carolina plays tonight. You predicted that Carolina, because they were the last team in the field and there's so much controversy around North Carolina, that they'll probably go on and get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, they're gonna make a run that's gonna have Bubba Cunningham flaunting his money in front of everybody.
I think honestly, it feels like to me that, tell me if I'm wrong about this, that a first four winner every year makes it to the second weekend. Am I wrong about that? Was NC State a first four team last year?
I think NC State was a first four team last year. And then the big one was UCLA a couple years ago when they made it all the way.
Oh, they played Michigan State to start, and I had them for size against Michigan State. And they made it to that was the Gonzaga semifinal game that was phenomenal. That they made it to the Final Four that year. Right?
Yeah, they made it to the Final Four. They lost to Gonzaga on that buzzer beater. The like half right. court from... the guy who plays in Orlando now.
Yeah, exactly. Him. It seems like, though, somebody comes out of a first four game and wins.
Colorado was the one last year.
Colorado was last year, not NC State?
Yeah, not NC State. NC State was an 11, but Colorado beat Boise State in a matchup of the 10s. And then I think they beat Marquette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... The first four of the first four teams this year, North Carolina, San Diego State, Texas, or Xavier. I don't know. I have North Carolina would play Ole Miss, and then the winner of Iowa State, Lipscomb. Iowa State is still missing a key player, right? I'm pretty sure. So maybe. I don't know. Watching Carolina the last couple of games that they've played, I watched some of that game against Wake. They could have easily lost that game in their tournament quarterfinals. I watched some of the Duke game, the season finale. I mean, they got blown out in that game. And they played Duke without Cooper Flagg, and they were down 20-something at halftime. I turned it off. By the time I turned it back, it was just because I was looking at my phone and I was in a group text and they're like, are you watching this Carolina comeback? I'm like, no. And I caught it right in time for the lane violation. That was unfortunate for them. All right, we'll get to some Denton news next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.